Okay, your questions. We'll start with the hands. Andy, let's start with you.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yep, gotcha.
Sorry, I always start with that.
That's okay, it's good.
Okay. I think we were talking about your our highest priorities are non-negotiables. And I had put this on the Facebook page. And one of my non-negotiables is to feel supported in a relationship.
Yeah.
But is that, but my core issue is feeling unsupported. Okay. That is a non-negotiable when it's like, is this like there because it's an issue for me? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Okay, great. So this is both in your priority list and values list as well in your POS, as well as it's a non-negotiable, right?
Right.
Yeah. So yes to, it can be a non-negotiable, absolutely, even though there's a big injury there for you.
Okay.
Because remember, our voids create our values. Whatever we were kind of missing in our childhood, we come to value. So mine, like I didn't have a lot of emotional relationship and attunement, right? So naturally, I'm going to value that a tremendous amount in my life and build a business around it, build a life around it, really. And so it's also non-negotiable to have, I want authentic relationships. So I wouldn't be friends with people where it's just all superficial crap. So that's, for me, I'm like you, where my wound creates something I really value. And it's also something I create a non-negotiable around.
Okay.
So yes, you can totally do that.
Okay.
Does that help?
Yes, that helps.
Okay. Thanks, Andy. Good one. I think I remember seeing your question in the Facebook group, and I'm glad you brought it here. Always do that to everybody else. Great. Okay, Julie, I got a typed question here. If we need to move on and finances are an issue, do we wait till we are stable, financially independent before heading out? That's an important question. And then she adds, what if he's earnestly trying but doesn't seem able to get it, me, support my POS? If you got, okay, there's two questions in here. You got a man who's earnestly trying, right? That's awesome. And you're going to have to say something like, I hear you that you're trying, honey, and I need more from you. Because it's in him. The best is in him, but he's got some blocks and he's got some stuff. And if he truly cares and wants to do the work with you, he will go hire someone, remember, and do whatever it takes, or whatever the cost, to not lose you and to like get his shit together and to get dialed. So similarly, if he was trying to start a business, earnestly trying to start a business and wasn't getting it, and it just wasn't happening for him, right? He can throw in the towel, or he can go hire a coach, take classes, and if he's determined inside himself to succeed, he will make it happen. If it's according to something he cares most about, he will do whatever it takes and whatever the cost, right? So he's got it in him, and he can do it. But I would say I need more from you. Julie, so back to your first question. If you're like, let's say you're dependent, you're in a dependent role in a financial situation, that's a really good question. That's going to be up to you if you feel like you want to wait before you head out. And then in the meantime, you're doing your best to get financially stable or in a position where you can do that. And this is, this is a whole other conversation around, this is, my wife and I are in this one a lot. Around a woman who moves towards this amazing, incredible role of raising children, gives up career opportunity after career opportunity, goes out of the workforce to raise a family, only to find that 10 years later, the guy wants to leave. And now she's like, oh, great. Now what do I do? Being financially now dependent on this person and having no skills and yada, yada. So I just want to say, I get there's some level of like real intense vulnerability around being financially dependent. And so I would, I would be doing what it takes to take good care of myself there and be gentle and go at a pace that feels doable. Because let's say you head out tomorrow, you might send your nervous system into shock or overload or overwhelm, and then you might shut down. And then you might really need help from someone. I don't know your personality enough to know how resilient you are, but I'm guessing if you're taking this course, you're pretty darn resilient. So, you know, I don't know enough about your situation to answer that, you know, to the best of my ability there. Okay. Oh, one last comment from you. Okay, if I'm saying, and I need more from you, honey, to him, and he says he wants to be accepted for who he is now, you could say, I hear you, and I'm not able to do that right now. And I'm not able, and I'm not willing. Unless you want to learn slowly and slow down and learn how to embrace him. But that's, you know, when people say, I want to be accepted for who I am right now, in this type of situation, they're essentially saying, I want a mom that I never had to just accept me. Remember, acceptance, i.e. love, is both challenge and support. It's not just support. It's not, yeah, I love you and I just sit here and accept you, you sitting on your ass. That's a one-sided fantasy again. We're talking about love is, yeah, I love you and I accept where you're at, and I'm also challenging you to step up. Okay, Deb.
Hi, can you hear me, Jason?
I got you.
Great, okay. So my situation is last week I got very clear that things with my boyfriend, in other words, the signs that it's time to start the process of leaving were quite clear and have been. And when I said to him, look, you know, it's clear to me that the dynamics that I'm looking for in a relationship and what you're looking for are different, and this is just not working for me, he basically kind of cut off the conversation and said, okay, well, that might well be true. Didn't sound upset, very matter of fact, and said, look, you know, you need to deal with your situation with your daughter right now because I'm staying with her after she had an appendectomy last week. He said, you know, well, you just deal with that and we'll talk about it when you get home. So I've barely heard from him. I'm going back on Friday and really want to be set up to have a conversation with him that is empowering to me. And I also notice what keeps coming up for me is probably undue concern about leaving him in a good place. So I would just like to hear anything you have to offer, Jason, in terms of the actual, you know, like how much do you explain? Do you give examples or do you just kind of give the basic, this is what I want, it's not a problem with you, it's just not what you want, and leave it at that. And if he asks questions, he asks questions.
Yeah, I like that. I would... You know, the last conversation you had with him, it sounds like it left on his terms. And so Friday, I would go into the conversation with the conversation being on your terms. In other words, you set the tone, you lead the conversation, you say, here's what I want to talk about, here's what I need, here's what I'm going to get off my chest. And I'm open to a response or something like that, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, very simple, very matter, like you want to keep it somewhat businesslike here. And do your best to stay in your heart and just spell it out. I like exactly what you said to me just a second ago.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Remember, you want to explain things and process with someone who wants that information, who's like, wait, I don't understand. Can you tell me more? Because I really want to get you and I want to get your experience. With someone like that, you unpack it.
Okay.
And that's your future guy, is going to be someone who's like, Deb, tell me more about you and where you're coming from here, because I want to know you in this place and I want to understand who you are here. And you're going to feel like really psyched because you're like, thank you. Yeah, okay, here it is. And then it's going to be a 3-hour long conversation that's deep, introspective, respectful, maybe a little triggering here and there, but like you stay in the fire and because two people are genuinely wanting to understand each other. He's not saying that. He's not saying, you know, so you give him very little unless he asks.
That's really great. Okay. That's great. And, you know, honestly, I really got what you said about his terms versus my terms. I mean, honestly, I'd almost rather just have the conversation with him by phone while I'm here. You know, my daughter's here. I'm not by myself. I'm not going to be sitting alone in my apartment and feeling... I don't know. It's
yeah.
just like
So then,
he's the one who
then
said
you
he
decide
should
your
play.
Yeah, you decide your terms. Don't wait about he and him deciding anything. You say, you check in with yourself when someone pushes back like that and says, you know, yeah, you should wait. Go, huh? Well, do I want to wait? And is that true for me? And then get clear. And if it's no, then be like, no, it doesn't work for me. Actually, I'm going to tell you when I want to tell you.
Yeah. Okay, that's really great. Thank you.
Yeah, you got it, Deb. Thanks. Yeah, really good, clear, specific questions here. Nice. Okay, Sheila, if we're still unsure of what we want to do and have seen some change in our guy, if we continue on doing what we are doing and empowering ourselves, do we wait for him to come around and talk to us and keep doing what we're doing and still not try to engage him? I mean, is that how we should continue? And we will either decide to stay or go based on whether he comes in fully or not, right? We shouldn't take some encouragement from him as a sign to try to engage him again unless he makes it known to us what he wants to do. All right, another important distinction here. Okay, so the 30 days, right, has been an experiment where you're practicing, trying on new behaviors, looking in the mirror, working on your stuff, empowering yourself. At the end of this 30 days, yes, you can continue to do work the material, stay on your side of the street, not be tracking him all the time, etc., and wait and kind of like be patient. And if you love this guy a lot, and let's say there's a lot of variables like kids and marriage and all that stuff, it might be worth being patient and continuing to see if he comes around. And then you get a genuine, sort of without the pressure from you, you get a real, over a couple of months, you get a real snapshot of what this guy's like when you back off. And if he's kind of just limping along and barely doing much, and yeah, he's giving you little scraps here and there, that tells you what it's going to be like for years if you really keep focusing on yourself and your empowerment. But most women are going to abandon themselves in that process because their longing is to talk and connect and reach out and pursue relationship and pursue connection. And I don't like telling people to abandon themselves. I like people being true to themselves, not their ego and their fear and just their reactivity, but their who you really are in your heart. If you want this guy and you want to connect with him, follow that impulse. But not from a place of, I need you to be different. From a place of, I just love you and I want to be with you and I want to talk and I want to connect. And if he isn't, again, willing to meet you halfway, you're wasting your time over the long haul. So I hope that helps. That's what I would say to you. Be true to you. Know what I'm saying? Okay, Andy and Deb, you can put your hands down. Anyone else? I've got a hand raise question. I've got a couple more typed ones I'll read, but feel free to raise your hand, folks. And we have, remember, we got one more class, lots of, another week here, and I wanna deliver. That's what I'm about. So I want to help. So it can be the most microscopic question. It can be a question about your POS. It can be a question about the original homework weeks ago. It can be you just sharing, hey, I'm just hiding out here. I'm not doing the homework and I'm struggling and I'm kind of flailing. Can you give me some encouragement here? Wherever you're at is okay, right? And so I want to encourage you, especially if you don't speak up much, to step forward and raise your hand. At the very least, type something. Janet says, I'm one of those people who's fearful of leaving. I've thought of it for years, really, but only very seriously over the past 2 years or so. I do believe I will be a more content soul, more authentic if I leave, but I'm afraid. I'm afraid of hurting him, hurting our families, and ultimately wondering if it would be a mistake. Maybe I won't be happier. Maybe I'll regret my decision. It's an irrational fear, but it's there nonetheless. How do I break free of this fear, even if it's possible? Okay, here is what you do if you're Janet. All right, Janet's going to write down this week benefits to the worst case scenario happening, you leaving and he gets really hurt. How is that going to help him? How's that going to help the families? How's that going to help the kids, your community? How's that going to help people if he is in deep hurt, if that's your worst fear? if your worst fear is you actually are going to be the most hurt and the most terrified and feel the most, you know, broken up about this whole thing, then you want to be doing benefits to you being in that way. Because fear, again, all fear is an imbalanced perspective on a future thing that's going to happen, right? We're not seeing both sides of the future thing, the future, quote, bad thing that's going to happen. So you need to see both sides, and then you become more fearless and more trusting that what he needs to go through, he will go through, okay? And it's okay if he gets upset, right? I was with a couple this morning, and I said, the woman was saying, I'm afraid to hurt him. I'm afraid to hurt his feelings. And I was like, that's his problem. Him getting hurt and his hurt feelings are his problem and his path and his journey. It has nothing to do with you anymore. And I said to her, you be true to yourself, no matter the cost, even if it devastates him. That's actually good for him and his path, right? What you've been doing is you've been in a pattern of enabling and protecting his feelings, i.e. protecting yourself, because you don't like seeing other people upset. So that's self-protection. Okay, so your motives are selfish, which again is fine, but let's be honest. So you got to trust more, take a risk, and be true to yourself. Sounds like that's what your intuition and heart knows, and you're just afraid. So one way to get you less afraid, stack up benefits. Okay, to the worst case scenario, him being devastated. How's that going to help everybody? And I guarantee you it's going to help as much as it hurts. Nice. Okay. Kristen and then Sasha. Kristen. Kristen, you there? I can hear some action there. I don't know if you want to try talking. No. Okay. I'll mute you. Come back to you, Kristen. Sasha, you there? Sasha.
Oops. Okay. Did I just unmute myself?
You did. I got you now.
Okay. Awesome. Hi, Jason.
Hi.
Okay. So I think you kind of have answered a bit of my questions in the last few answers you've just given. But basically what I was looking for was some clarity, almost like a reality check from you, maybe support in that way, just from where my guy's at in relation to where I am within the three camps.
Okay.
So I definitely have been doing my best to eliminate the expecting and the helping him and hoping. Well, I have to be honest, definitely in my heart of hearts, there's some hope still there.
Yeah.
But within the next two categories, I'm still in that place where I see moments where it looks like there's some shift happening, and then other ones where it's just like, this is ridiculous, he's not in this, he's not willing to do the work. And then, so I remember you talking way back about sometimes guys open their hearts more during sex and stuff like that. So I had this moment with him after it seemed like things were definitely not going forward, where he started to become more receptive and he was connecting more. And then we ended up making love, and he actually really opened up, and I could see in his eyes, and he was really engaged, and he said, hey, I love you. I don't want to be with anyone else, but I'm so angry. I'm just so, so angry. And then after that kind of goes back to being really disconnected again. So I guess I'm just wondering, like, I don't even really know what my question is. If you have any kind of feedback or advice or...
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
So, and I'm also in the complicated situation where I'm a stay-at-home mom, I'm financially dependent, all these other factors as well.
Okay.
So,
yeah. Okay. So, yeah. So this is, at some point when you, in the next, let's say, week, 2 weeks, you want to say, hey, remember how you shared, how you were just so real with me and you shared with me that you're really, really angry? And he says, yeah. You say something like, I want to support you in facing that. What are you going to do about it?
Okay. Okay.
And then he's going to, again, his actions will speak everything. but you want him to be like, well, here's another thing you can say is, you know, I want to feel closer to you, and I really love those moments when I feel close to you, like when you shared that you're really angry just after we made love, blah, 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 and I want more of that. Are you able to, you know, give me that? Can you show up in a way that's like more like that?
Okay. And so then really just holding space for him to...
Yeah, just be like, what do you need,
man? Be in that place.
Yeah, what do you need, man, to like go for it there? Because I want to be in a relationship with you when you're bringing that level of truth-telling and vulnerability to me, and not just after sex, but like, you know, a lot of the time. I don't need it 100% of the time, but I need that a lot. That's actually a need of mine. And again, you can mm-hmm. share a non-negotiable need at that moment. And then again, I'm educated. If I'm him, I'm like, I start to get educated about what you need to be fulfilled. And I get to decide, can I meet those needs? Can I fulfill some of your needs or not?
Mm-hmm.
And I like to know what a woman expects of me. That's why the non-negotiable needs, laying those out soon, are going to be key, because it's like, I want to know what do you expect?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think in a lot of sense he does know, and he just hasn't been able to go there. He's too overwhelmed with his own stuff, and there's, anyway, I don't know.
I hear you. And ultimately you want to be with a guy who, whether it's this guy or some other guy, that is like, when he, you know, says, I'm so angry, and he has a moment of openness, he also says, and I want to deal with this because I want to be closer to you.
Yeah. And I think that's the point where I see the desire in him, but his block is so much bigger, and he's kind of the guy where he's just like, no, I can't deal with this. I just need a break. And it's from his own pain he can't deal with, obviously. But
yeah,
that's my place of like, well, how long do I kind of keep hanging out in this? Desiring for to support him, but him not being able.
Yeah.
And I guess that's just the cut, maybe comes back to the 80-20 thing you were talking about, or really trying to show up and hold space and see if there can be a shift, and if not, then deciding from there.
Yeah, I would get clear on my non-negotiables for you about what's going to, in your future relationship with him, what is going to work for you and what doesn't work for you, and then educate him and let him know that in the next couple of weeks.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome, Sasha. And one last thing, Sasha, you also, like Sheila, you want to be, I think it was Sheila, you want to be kind of, you're already doing this probably, but brainstorming your contingency plan. You know, you want to be like, huh, okay, if this relationship doesn't work, like, and I've got a child here with this person and I'm dependent, what am I going to do? What are my resources internally and externally to be able to, take care of myself? And I guarantee you, you can. Any woman can. It's just a matter of how long it's going to take, and what are you going to do, and what does it look like, and what's your timeline, and all that. Okay. All right. Kristen, yeah, I got you. And I'll read your question here. Okay. If you have figured out that him putting his POS on your POS is what you think drives most of the conflict, and I did the C's, and none of this really brings up what has been giving me all my emotional reaction stuff, is it best to start on the POS work with him first? I also think the pyramid homework has highlighted that our pyramids need more discussion and connection from there. So maybe I should be doing the work there with him. I feel like I have some clue about what's important to him, but this conversation may be a big way of connecting with him and him with me, opening up the communication. Yes. At a certain point, and I'm going to say wait, wait one more week, just so you can just keep, you know, keep working it, right? At a certain point, you want to bring up the operating system stuff. Why? Because if it's the source of your frustrations and conflicts, like it might be with Kristen here, you want to address that. You want to say, hey, dude, I learned this new cool thing about communication. You want to hear it? I always like to get consent. You want to hear it? Because I think it's kind of what's going on with our fights. I think it's going to help us a lot and help us fight less. Do you want to hear it? Do you want to do an exercise with me? And it really has to do with what matters most to you in your life and what matters most to me and how we live our lives daily. Okay, so let me explain it. And then you go into explaining it, and he's kind of a skeptical participant initially. but it's going to make sense somewhere in there to him. And if he's a good dude, he's going to be like, wow, okay, I see that, yeah, I see that I do at times put my POS on yours and expect you to live like me. That's true. I do that sometimes. If he's in his wound and he's feeling really inadequate and insecure, he is going to get defensive. And again, that information speaks volumes, right? You want that information because you want to be with the guy, the former guy I just mentioned. You don't want to be with a guy who continues to get triggered in his wound around, I'm not good enough, or I'm not doing it right, etc., and then not dealing with it. It's fine to get triggered into that, but it's not okay with you that he doesn't go face it, because it's going to limit your ability to go deep with him over time. He will continually get stuck around his wound. And that's true for all of us. So you want people that are going to face their wounds, or you cannot and will not go deeper with them, period, and you want that. All right. Deb saying, hey, I'd love to hear your coaching on getting out there and dating again, meeting new men, and doing all that with awareness we've gained in this 30-day course. Any guidance on how much to say and reveal about our priorities and POS, how to assess whether guys what we're looking for, etc.? Will you bring up that question next class? That's a good one. I get enough of those questions that I want to speak to that somehow. So, Deb, stay on me next week, you and me. Okay, any others here? These are great. Mary Jo, what do you got?
I guess it's sort of, it's probably something you're going to deal with next week, because where I'm at, my relationship ended about, I guess about 5 or 6 months ago at this point, and I still feel like I'm really stuck on the relationship, even though all the things you're saying, it's telling me it wouldn't have worked, it would have never gone anywhere. But I still am having a lot of pain associated with that past relationship, which I think is prohibiting me to move on. So I really feel like I'm stuck. And I've tried to do those exercises, how I benefit from without it. And I do that, but I still feel like there's so much fear. I suppose that's what it is. And I keep saying, oh, I'm just not ready for another relationship. I just have to wait. I need to learn more. I need to get better at this. But I think it's part of, I guess, fear. So I just sort of wanted to throw that out to you. And
okay.
And is it just time that's needed, or is it
no,
skill?
I think there's something else here. So let me ask you a few questions. What is the hardest thing about moving on from this guy? What is the thing that keeps you kind of stuck there? What is that?
Okay, that I definitely know, because I feel like I didn't have an opportunity to use these skills with him, and I wish I had.
Okay, and your story in your mind is, gosh, if I had these skills, it would have blank. It would have been better and we would be together or something?
Possibly, or at least I would have had more clarity that it definitely wasn't going to work.
Did he leave you or did you leave him?
He left me.
Okay. And did you ever feel rejected?
Yes.
Okay. And prior to meeting him, have you ever felt rejected in your life?
I never opened my heart before him. So I was protected the whole time before this relationship.
Since birth?
Probably not, but I think I learned this protection pretty early on to keep myself hidden.
Yeah. Okay. So exactly. My sense with you, when I sort of feel into it, is there's a deeper layer that needs to be addressed in you around rejection. And when you feel rejected, when you felt rejected by him, what feelings did it bring up in you about you? Like,
well, it was a huge revelation because I became completely desperate and frightened, like I was going to die. So I knew that was stuff from my childhood. So I, you know, did a lot of work around that. Like, it was pure desperation. Like, when I look back and I couldn't believe how I handled it.
Okay, time out. That's not answering my question. So when he, quote, rejects you, right, doesn't want to be with you, doesn't choose you, you feel what inside your heart? A not lovable, worthless,
alone,
unworthy.
Completely. Unworthy,
there's something
undeserving.
Wrong with me. Undeserving?
Well, yeah, but
Just slow, keep stay slow and feel into the answer rather than think it. feel it. Yeah. When he just left you and turned his back and said, no, thanks. What did it bring up in that little soft, beautiful like place in you?
Total distrust.
And distressed, like, what story did you tell yourself?
It was distrust. Distrust. Total distrust.
Okay, so yeah. It brought up a bunch of trust stuff for you. And did you tell yourself a story about you that you're not blank enough?
No, I have, that hasn't come up.
All right, I want you to feel into something right now. Now, try these statements on and take them slow, okay?
Okay.
There's something wrong with me. I'm not worthy of love. I don't deserve to be seen and accepted for who I am.
Yeah, that seen is a big one.
Okay. Something around being seen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, change the statement to fit to make it more true for you. And feel it rather than think it.
Yeah, I have felt unseen.
Okay.
In the past too.
Yeah. So when I got rejected and then I don't feel seen, right?
Yes.
And I don't feel seen usually for most of us translates into I don't feel accepted for who I am and loved for who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And for some of us, it also bleeds into, I don't deserve to be loved or seen for who I am. I'm not saying that's you, but some of us.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to write this down, write one of those down, one of those statements.
Okay.
This is back to the 5C exercise. This is your core issue. Core issue is core belief / wound. And this is what's getting triggered by him breaking up with you. And you're not getting over it.
Yeah.
And that's why, is because it's bringing up the early rejection around your family and not ever feeling seen in your family. You know, it sounds to me like you, for as long as you can remember, you've had your heart guarded. That's what kids do that don't feel seen.
Uh-huh.
It's very smart, right? So you're hanging out there, and we want to see if we can get some traction with you around this one. And so you want to go back to the homework and do it around that statement.
Good.
Okay?
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah, you got it, Mary Jo. Whew, you can feel the vulnerability, right? I mean, we're all so sensitive. And as children, we do get missed a lot. The big people, especially in our generation and earlier, they didn't have the skills to see us. We were wild. We were annoying. We were sensitive. We were emotional. We were all kinds of things that they couldn't handle. And so we hide it away. And then we find ourselves in adult relationships, patterns repeat, and then we feel the same things we felt as a little boy or girl. So here it is, it's repeating. And Mary Jo has a tremendous opportunity here to get more empowered around her wound. Because just because a guy doesn't choose you, it has nothing to do with how lovable you are and how amazing you are. Nothing. It means he wasn't ready or able to be in a relationship with you. That's all it means. Even if he makes up a story that you were wrong, like I used to do with women. That's not the issue. Okay? But we take it personally. It's not personal here. And you got to see how unbelievably incredible you are. And that's when you become indestructible and you're dating really awesome men. All right. Okay, Angela, what do you got? Angela, are you there? Angela. I can hear you in the background. Angela? Going once, twice? Okay. Angela, I just called on you if you were walking away from your computer. Okay. Janet's saying good advice. We have no children. It's more of a feeling of disappointing his mom and siblings and their spouses and my mom and siblings and spouses, none of whom are separated or divorced. We'd be the first. Perhaps embarrassment plays a role here too. I've got to learn to quit worrying about what others think and be authentic to myself. Yeah, you're the authentic person, right? Totally. It's difficult, yes, because you've been so part of your personality is oriented around other and how they feel about you, right? You don't want to upset people. You don't want to disappoint them. So you got to prop yourself up and be a certain way, which is totally disingenuous, which a guy like me would date you and be like over it in a couple minutes. I'd be like, come on, where are you? Where's Janet? Bring it on. Bring out the messiness. Bring out the goods here. Piss me off, you know? Okay, and she's saying, but I do not want to be here where I am 5 years from now, 10 years, 20 years. Yeah, of course you don't. No way. So you know this. Your authenticity is the way out. Truth-telling is the way to freedom for you and for a lot of us. And it's one avenue. It's one practice. So piss off your mom, siblings, spouses, and his. Do it. Not to spite them, but to be true to yourself. Remember, they can take care of themselves. They're going to be okay. In fact, it gets them closer to their healing journey the more true you can be to yourself. Oh, got it, Angela. Thanks. Jan, I haven't made any changes for the last 30 days myself because I usually tend not to rock the boat and not expecting him to do anything different, therefore no changes from him. Should I be doing something or something different than the normal? Okay, so for you, I would say go take this next week and rock the boat. Because we're doing an experiment here, if your typical style is to not rock the boat, go rock the boat. What does that look like? I don't know. It could be getting in a fight. It could be doing some blaming. It could be sharing your feelings. It could be expressing your truth, your dissatisfaction, your frustration. It could be a number of things. But like Janet, you want to be authentic and rock the boat. Go for it. It's going to be good for you. And then report back next week. Okay, awesome. Let's do Nikki, and then we're going to start winding down. So if you got a question, you got about a couple minutes here to get it in there. Really appreciate it. These ones are really good today, and I think they're helping us clarify some things. So remember, it benefits everybody. Nikki, you got to, if you're there. Yep.
Yeah, hey, Jason. Just on the follow-up from a question that was just answered, can you explain a little bit more about how the childhood wound keeps you stuck from moving on from a failed relationship? I feel like I'm like so interested in, but I feel like I might be missing a step or two. Could you just expand a little bit on that?
Sure. Yep, and I'll mute you. And then feel free to you can put your hand down and then put it back up if you got a follow-up question here. Yeah, so if I grew up feeling abandoned by my mother, let's say, I don't deal with that, I will create and attract and draw in experiences into my life to get me to face my abandonment wound. So I will, quote, get abandoned by people. People will, and I will have this story running in my head if I'm a person who doesn't work on myself. Man, people are so not trustworthy. People are just always bailing on me. People just leave me left and right. And what's running that is my abandonment wound. So then I get in an intimate partnership, and eventually women will just leave me. They will leave me. I won't leave them. Sometimes I'll leave them. But it's going to keep playing out until I go face what keeps repeating. You're right, the record keeps skipping on the same place until I face it. And if I do some healing work, again, seeing benefits to, quote, being abandoned, even though I wasn't abandoned, no one's really abandoned. And even if they are, there's like tremendous benefits to that. I got to see that, right? I got to get in a balanced place in my heart and my mind. And then I don't need to keep hitting repeat on the broken record. And then I move on to a different injury that I've had. And I bring that into my life so that I can heal that. Why? Because the goal, it seems, if I look at my own experience and other people, is to become whole, to be who we are. And life is so generously pointing us ever so lovingly to be whole and to not be a fragmented half version of ourselves that's wounded. So in Mary Jo's case, she'll keep attracting rejection type experiences into her life until she faces that and does some more healing around it and doesn't see rejection in and of itself as a problem, not just intellectually, but in her heart, in her body. Okay, it can't just be an intellectual exercise. That's a bypass. It has to be gotten in the cells and in the heart. So I don't know if that helped, Nikki. Let me know if it did or did not. Okay, go ahead. You're muted still.
Sorry, the feeling pot, the taking out of the intellect and the filling in the heart, that's just, is it just replaying that process of benefits? Like, how does the healing look like? Is there anything else other than doing a benefits to it? Because
it looks like you maybe crying hysterically. It looks like energy releasing and discharging out of your body and you shaking, maybe sweating. It looks like you yawning and releasing energy out of your body. And it can happen for 5 minutes or 5 hours. It can be a big catharsis or kind of a slow leak. It can happen over many months, many years, or many hours. Depends on the person. But it's very clear when you transmute something, usually there's some kind of catharsis in the body. It doesn't have to be emotions. And there's like there's an aha moment that happens in our system. And then from that moment forward, we're different. Does that help?
Yeah. Yeah, thanks, Jason.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and when you really know you're doing the exercise beyond an intellectual exercise, when you get it in your cells and you have some kind of yawn, a tear comes down your face, a big one or a little one, you start seeing the world slightly differently. You heal with a person, and the very moment that you heal with that person, you get a phone call from them. Something weird happens. Things like this, like it's kind of mysterious and kind of obvious. It's subtle and it's obvious. Depends on you and the person. If none of that's happening for you, you're still intellectually comprehending it, but it hasn't gone deeper. So I typically like to go further, and I do whatever it takes personally, right? You guys know that about me. I'll go take MDMA or mushrooms or ayahuasca, or I'll go to different healers. I'll get in a circle. I will dive down in myself in a number of different ways that I have. I'll do this method. I'll do a number of things to get the breakthrough, right? Because I want to get over the thing. I want to be on the other side. So it's, it's work, but it's got to be embodied, or it's not going to do it. All right, wonderful. Last call for a question, and then we'll wrap it up. Lisa. Okay, well, let's end with Lisa. What do you got, Lisa?
Hi there. Hi. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, great. I have a tendency... Actually, I have two questions. I think I'll just give you one at the moment. So if you have a man that's interested, you were talking last week about... So for example, the first thing on your list is your business.
Yeah.
And maybe... Let's say your wife wanted something more from you, like she wanted some more affection from you.
Yep.
Can you give an example of what she could, and you said that she needs to help you see how giving her more affection could help with your business.
Yes.
Can you give an example of what she could say? I had a hard time coming up with how, like making that connection.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. And then I sense you have another question. Should I answer this one first?
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, she could say, honey, I really love what you're up to in your business and I miss you. And I want to have sex, or I want to connect with you intimately. And I miss that in you. And I have a feeling what I know about you is when you are sexual, there's the kind of a correlation with your business. Your business seems to do better and you seem more alive and engaged in your business when we're kind of sexy. Have you noticed that, honey?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what she could say, right?
Yeah, totally.
So she's reminding me that it benefits me and my business. And she's giving me concrete examples.
Sure.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Well, thank you.
Sure. Was there something else?
The other thing, so I personally have difficulties getting deeper in my own relationships, and I think it's because of my own protective mechanisms. And so I've been, that's sort of what I've been working on, and I think you've actually answered it with your previous discussions. And for me, I think it's mostly things that get triggered of, like, not being good enough,
mm-hmm.
or not being smart enough, or X, Y, Z. And just, I think the work is just in those first, like, in that first homework and thinking about the benefits of some of the childhood traumas that have happened to me and, like, feeling that.
That's right. Yeah, feeling it, getting it. But you want to be clear. You want to get as clear and specific as possible if you're going to what you're doing benefits about. It can't be kind of, I mean, it can be sort of broad strokes, but that's not going to be as effective, right, as if we go like trait by trait or a little issue by issue, trauma by trauma.
Right. Yeah. Okay. That sounds great. Thank you, Jason.
Yeah, you got it, Lisa. Thanks for speaking up here. All right. Awesome. This has been a good, good ride. I'm really grateful that you invest in yourself like you are. And we'll talk to you next week. Okay. Thanks, everyone.